Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, people. All you people out there that are listening tonight, you will be partaking in a miracle, and I'm going to tell you what the miracle is all about. But before we do another thing, we're going to go to a short prayer. Everybody, please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings you have poured upon me. I cannot believe what you have done for me this very night. It's taken less than a year for you to perform a miracle in my life, which I'm going to tell our audience about. Oh, Lord, if you will, please heal our co-host, Winston Smith, who's in the hospital tonight. He is very seriously ill. He was supposed to be on tonight. He won't be able to. And, Lord, if you will, please, please protect Rich Hamlin, his dear wife, Janice, who were in South Africa. Protect Simon Roach and all of our brothers and sisters over there in South Africa. Now, with that, thank you so much, God, for doing that. And amen, Lord. Now, people, I got to tell you a quick history about what's happening here tonight. Less than a year ago, February of 2017, I was laying in a deer camp in the wilds of West Tennessee. Yeah, up around Collinwood, Tennessee. It's the most sparsely populated county in the state of Tennessee. And I had been wondering about trying to get a radio show someday. And in the middle of the night, it came to me in a dream. I woke up and I said, the name of the show is going to be Blood River. The reason Blood River was chosen in the dream, I didn't choose it. God Almighty chose it. I couldn't have come up with that. It was to honor our brothers and sisters, our ancestors who fought on the banks of the Blood River, of the Nancomb River, if I'm pronouncing it right, in 1838. And they overcame and beat 30,000 Zulus. You all know the history if you listen to this radio show. We've talked about that. People, I didn't even know I was going to get this radio show. This was in February. Get this, a short time later in August of 2017, I rode to Charlottesville, Virginia with two of the people that are going to be on this show tonight. One of them is my loyal co-host, Matt. You all know Matt. The other one, an amazing fellow, Rich Hamlin, a brother. These two brothers were for a brotherhood that can never be broken, was forged, and I'm telling you flat out, in the heat of the most furious battle you've ever want to be involved in. You've all heard about Charlottesville, Virginia. You could hear about it for a month, and you could never, ever know just how hot and how horrible it was. Well, we came out of that alive, and I knew right then and there that we were going to have to do something to support our fellow white people in the world to fight the white genocide that's going on right now. And we've dedicated for the hottest point of the genocide going on in the world right now. It's in South Africa. I cannot believe that it came to me in a dream, and I'll be doggone if Rich Hamlin is not in South Africa this very night. You people are blessed. You will be partaking in a miracle because he's going to come on tonight. He's going to tell us about his travels over there and his mission over to South Africa. With that, people, please be with me because give me a little slack because this is the most emotional show I've ever been involved in. With that, Rich, my dear brother, come on in and tell it. How are you doing, Rich?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Eddie. I hope you all are well.
We're doing great. With that, you know, Rich, tell us a little bit about you're, it's like an odyssey. It's like the Iliad and the Odyssey, you and Shanice going to South Africa. Why did you take it upon yourself to go there and such, knowing that all hell is getting ready to break loose? How, it's dangerous. You could be killed over there. It's one of the most dangerous places in the world. Why, Rich, in the name of all sanity, why did you go over there?
Well, as you know, we became very good friends with Simon Roche of the Sidelanders last year. In fact, he stayed at our house, I guess, for a total of about 3 weeks. And during that time, we went to Charlottesville and back and suffered through that campaign. And then got to know Simon very well. And he's been after us for a long time to come over and see South Africa. That's he encourages everyone to come over and see the situation for yourself. And so we finally got the circumstances together and the resources and came over here on the 9th of December, or left America on the 9th of December, and we're going to return on the 30th of December. Right now we're in a little place called Van der Kloof, which is on the Orange River. It's in the northern part of the North Cape province, and it's sort of an unofficial center for Sightlander activity. And we've met some very nice people here, very friendly people, stalwart people, and had a great time so far.
Rich, I salute you, my brother. It takes tremendous courage and dedication to do what you and your dear wife, Janice, have done. And I may add what I consider great expense. Rich told me it. I think Rich told me that it takes it's about $2,000 round trip just for the transportation to fly to South Africa and back. And so multiply that by two, him and his lovely wife, that's $4,000 right there. Rich, how hard was it? And this is, I'm going to get this housekeeping out of the way. If someone wanted to go to South Africa to visit Rich and our dear brothers and sisters there, what y'all was involved, I'm sure I'd be surprised if you did not have to get passports and did not have to take a lot of shots, vaccinations. So how much of that did y'all have to go through?
No, it's quite easy for holders of U.S. passports. You have to have a passport, of course, to travel internationally. No advance visas required. The United States is a no-visa country for South Africa, so you just check in when you get to customs control here. They stamp your, they ask you a few questions and then stamp your passport, and you're on your way. As far as the shots can go, South Africa is a civilized country. I mean, people forget that. It was carved out of the wilderness by the Afrikaners and then with assistance from the British. And it's a highly developed country. At the peak of its success, it was first world, definitely. The first heart transplant in the world took place here in South Africa in 1967, I believe it was. Anyway,
that was Dr. Bernard Christensen that did that operation.
Christian Bernard. Since 1994, it's regressing, I guess, back into a third world status, but it's still highly developed. I'm speaking to you on my cell phone, which I transferred service from the United States, and I hear the music.
Rich, we hear the music coming in. We'll get right back with you, Rich. We'll hear the when we come back. Matt be getting you some questions together, son. But we need to let Rich rock and roll tonight because he's telling it all. We'll be right back, people. You tune back into this miracle unfolding before your eyes.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Okay, people, we're back after the break. I'm glad that break didn't last any longer. And just a quick rebuff, a recount of what went on earlier. You were witnessing a miracle. In case you didn't tune in to right now, I'll just kind of recount it briefly. Less than a year ago, I was in a hunting camp in the wilds of Wayne County, Tennessee. In a dream, I promise you, in a dream, the name Blood River came to me for a radio show. The theme of the show Blood River, global white genocide, highlighting the hot genocide going on in South Africa. Fast forwarding from February 2017 to August of 2017, I wrote to Charlottesville, Virginia, with a fellow who's in South Africa right now, Rich Hamblin, with their other guest of honor, Simon Roach. I read up there also with my honored co-host, Matt, y'all know Matt Goodman all too well, and Gene, the Marine. I always call him Mr. Marine James. I'm really, really emotional tonight, people, so hang on. So I hope you follow that up. And I'll be damned if the show did not come to pass. There was no money, had to sell gold to get the money, had to overcome every kind of obstacle you can think of. We're still trying to overcome obstacles, trying to get a newsletter out that's harder than anything you ever imagine, especially if you're technologically retarded like myself. But with that, we're going to go back to Rich. Rich is going, he's going to run this whole show tonight because there's nothing, he's the one in South Africa, not me and Matt. But anytime if Matt has to ask a particular question, Matt, you hop right in. But right now, let's let Rich rock and roll. Tell us what, take up where you left off, Rich, if you can remember. I'm so
well,
emotional.
Well, as I was saying, it's relatively easy for Americans to to travel here. It's a long trip. I chose to go the direct flight route, which runs out of Atlanta and goes into Johannesburg, and it's about a 14.5-hour plane ride, and that's a long trip to be in a plane.
Ooh-wee.
So it's very time consuming. If you change planes in London or in Paris or go through Europe, you know, you're looking at about 24 hours of travel time. But it's relatively easy. Once you get here, it's a modern airport. you check in through customs, and we didn't really have any hassles whatsoever. I was we had a layover here in Johannesburg, which is kind of interesting because Johannesburg is one of the most dangerous cities in the world. But we had arrangements to stay at a hotel, and we were met by a driver in a car and spent a very nice evening here in Johannesburg, and then flew out the next morning to Bloemfontein, which is in the Orange Free State. And Bloemfontein is, of course, the judicial capital of South Africa, and dating from the colonial times, or from the the early times. And then we were met by a car in Bloemfontein and driven down here to Van der Kloof, where we're in a room tonight. And tomorrow is, you mentioned Blood River, tomorrow is the anniversary of the Day of the Vow, is what the Afrikaners call it. Now the Rainbow Government calls it Day of Reconciliation, but it's the actual anniversary of the battle at Blood River. It was fought on December 16th, 1838.
My God almighty. I have chills going up down my spine again, but I can't believe Rich. Wow. I you know what, people? I want to cut Rich off. I'm thinking, this is so surreal. I wonder if I'm really doing this. I mean, just let that sink in your head. Less than a year ago, I'm laying in a camp, deer hunting, not even thinking about the radio show, and awakened in the middle of the night by a dream with this whole thing, the name of the show, what the show would be about. And fast forward it again. I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating. You're witnessing a miracle. You're listening a miracle. Fast forwarding to August, I went to Charlottesville with the people I'm named, with Rich and Matt and Gene and Simon. It formed a brotherhood with them, an unbreakable brotherhood with the finest people I've ever met in my life, some of the few people you can actually trust nowadays. It's just actually happening. My God, I mean, I hope I don't wake up tomorrow. I'm not exaggerating, people. That's how emotional, that's how ungrievable, unreal this is. It's I can't believe it's actually happening. But, you know, to kind of come back down to earth, Rich, you mentioned Johannesburg. Did you see much? How long was you in the cab trip from the airport to the hotel, and the whole time you were in Johannesburg? What did it look like? There were the streets full of glass. Were there thugs on the street? Did you feel danger in danger at any time there? What was it like? You paint the picture of Johannesburg for us.
Not particularly. Of course, it was not particularly because it was daylight. But we saw lots of high walls. We saw lots of barbed wire and electric wire. And we spent about 15 or 20 minutes driving through the traffic to the hotel, which is located in a secure residential area. There was a security guard on the gate that had to eyeball you and let you in. He had to recognize you. And then the hotel itself, it's a little small boutique hotel. It was a great place. It had, it was gated like everything else. And all the houses around there had electric wire on top of them. So we felt very secure in there because we were in the hands of somebody that was, experienced. And the hotel was run by Zimbabweans, which, surprisingly, there's quite a few of those that are working in South Africa because the economy of Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia, is just completely on the skids. But then we caught a plane down and flew into Bloemfontein, the first thing we discovered, I guess, is it's really hot down here. I'm guess it's been averaging probably about 95 to 98 degrees. And it's the train itself, it's kind of stark and flat for the most part. There are hillocks, I guess you can call them. We're in kind of some high areas here because there's a hydroelectric power plant close to where we're staying. But the land itself is amazing to see the stark contrast between the cultivated land, which is made arable by irrigation, and the land that's just regular bush. And bear in mind, they're in probably the eighth or ninth year of a drought, a serious drought. Oh, so wow. Everything is brown and burnt, except for the areas that are irrigated. There are huge commercial farms here that grow wheat. We've seen some tremendous wheat fields. And they have big, long, for lack of a better word, trolleys, irrigation trolleys, sort of like you see out in West Tennessee with some of the cotton fields. And those areas are lush, and, I mean, it's really scientific farming. And, of course, all these people down here now are under threat of losing their farmlands from the expropriation without compensation that's being put forward by the ANC government. So it's a lot of farmers aren't even planting. this year, because they're saying, why bother? Why spend several hundred thousand dollars preparing a field if it's just going to be taken away from us? So in that respect, it's, it's uncertain. This is a very wide area, although there is a township located nearby, but everything's, it's mostly white folks that we've seen. And it's a very small town that we're in. It only has, doesn't even have a traffic light. That tells you how small it is. But it's great people down here. They're a hardy stock. I am really impressed with these Afrikaners and these Boers. The young men all look like they could be professional rugby players, and the women are gorgeous. And today we spent a good part of the day down in Orania, which is an all-white town about 40 kilometers from where I am. And it was a delightful experience, even though we had a flat tire there.
Oh,
you know, Rich,
wow.
You mentioned... Oh, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Sam. You mentioned the Battle of Blood River, and that's tomorrow, did you say?
Correct. In fact, there's going to be a ceremony tomorrow where the head man from the Sightlanders is going to be leading a religious service down by the Orange River, close to here, at 10 o'clock
now
in the morning.
So
we're going to
when the ANC took over, they didn't allow the people to celebrate their Founders Day, kind of like our Columbus Day here. It's on April 6th.
They renamed it to the Day of Reconciliation, and of course they've rewritten the history. I was talking to a Sightlander parent whose son is in schools, and they, instead of the actual casualties of that were listed at for the Zulus at the Battle of Blood River.
Hey, guys, we have to go to a break. Excuse us, y'all. We have to go to a break, Rich and Matt. We'll be right back. People, tune right back in. Don't go anywhere. Be a partaker of listening to this, how this miracle is unfolding. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Well, people, welcome back to this miracle you're seeing unfold tonight. I've told about it twice, so I hope that if anybody's tuned in, just go back to the archives because I won't recount the miracle. It's just incredible. But listen, with further ado, I want to go back. Matt and Rich were having a great conversation, guys. I hope you remember what you were talking about. So right now, I'm going back to Rich, who's our incredible guest of honor, and Matt, who had a question for you. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Well, my question was simply, I just want to be clear to the audience, me and you have kind of talked about what state South Africa kind of compares to, and I think we both kind of came to the conclusion that it's kind of like a tropical deserty climate, but you said they've developed these beautiful farms. You've sent me some pictures. They have like beautiful windmills where they pull water up out of the ground and they feed their cattle. They water their cattle and all that. So they, with their own blood, sweat, and tears, they've created all this, these beautiful farms. And to be clear, the ANC is basically not allowing them to celebrate their own holidays that they've had. For example, the Battle of Blood River, they've renamed it Reconciliation Day, as though these white farmers need to reconcile for the blacks, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole pattern of cultural Marxism where they first they minimize the holidays or they rename it and they allow the monuments to deteriorate. And they do subtle things like rewriting the history, because it's the same kind of stuff they're doing in the United States. The Afrikaners were very interested to hear actually what's going on in the country and how things are progressing and what kind of struggles that we're facing over here. I'm down here with there are three other Americans that came in specifically for the day of the vow tomorrow, two from the Midwest and one from the West Coast, and so they're all bringing their perspectives to this. Of course, I'm bringing the perspective of Southerner to it, and because there's a lot of similarities between the history of the Boers and the history of the South.
What is your impression of the people there, the general impression, and their, maybe the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times?
Well, where I am, they're first rate. I mean, they're hardy, they're muscular, the women are beautiful, the kids are well-behaved. They're the salt of the earth is what they are. And you have to be to survive in this kind of environment. It's to where I am. Of course, you know, toward the north, it's you get into more tropical areas. In the south, it's more of a temperate area. But they'll rarely get any snow around here. And right now, I say they're in probably the eighth or ninth year of a very serious drought with no signs of it breaking. And so the land's kind of burnt looking, and it's neglected because, like I say, the farmers are fearful of the impending land confiscations, and they're looking for ways to minimize any kind of adverse effects. But it's not going to be. Don't think it's going to be successful.
Matt, you made some fabulous points. Continue on, Matt. You're doing too good to interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just curious, what is the kind of spirit of the age right now, the spirit of the times with all these edicts coming out of the ANC about land confiscation? Are people preppering?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Sightlanders are a prepper group. I mean, their whole legal shield is the provisions of the appendixes, I guess, to the Geneva Conventions, to the protocols. They're strictly by the book. They've been investigated. The leader has been jailed. and they attempted to build a case against them, and there weren't, you know, just wasn't anything to be done because they're scrupulous about what they're doing. They're not a, you know, the AWB or any of these commando groups or anything like that. They are doing what they can within the letter of the law and staying within the letter of the law, but they are doing things like building stockpiles of food and water and radios and diesel fuel and all that kind of stuff, which is why they're asking for contributions from outside of South Africa, from Americans, to raise awareness. And also,
have you seen any confiscated farms personally?
Have you seen what they've done with any of them? Not where I am, because I've only been here, you know, a few days, and we've just kind of been stuck in where we are. But there are the blacks are not interested in farmland. I've watched several presentations from a, you know, more or less a mainline polling group who thinks they have the pulse of South Africa, you know, their finger on the pulse. And basically, there's probably maybe a percent or a half of the population, the black population, that's interested in all farmland. They've had willing seller, you know, willing buyer, willing seller deals, and the government has bought land from landowners for redistribution, but the people that receive it turn around and sell it or take cash for it and have no interest in working the land because it's damn hard work and it takes capital and it's it takes intelligence, and that's three things that are, you know, lacking among most of the population down here.
You know, I'd like to chime in now. You know, well, I would think but what you told us, Rich, that the price with what's going on, that the price of the land has plummeted to probably
it's dropping. It nickels. Is. Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you know, if you're going to sell land, you got to have a buyer. Well, who wants to buy land only to have it, you know, confiscated by the government in 6 months?
So, you know, and another thing.
Damper.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. You know, and another thing, you know, you pointed out all too well similarities with a lot of our blacks here in the United States. They don't want to work. The ones here in the United States are what, third or fourth generation, you know, welfare, the FDR, you know, New Deal.
And
LBJ's.
Those like to burn things down.
Yes, they do. Yes, they love the burn. They most certainly do. They're not interested in working. You got that right. They're really good. Well, you know, Winnie Mandela and her saintly husband, Nelson Mandela, they love to burn their own people. You know, I'd like to remind the audience that Winnie Mandela, I believe, is the one that came up. She's the one that wrote the song about matches. She talked her matches, going about with her matches and her necklaces. In case people never ever wonder what a necklace is, when you hear people like Winnie Mandela talking about a necklace in Nelson Mandela, these kind abused blacks in Africa would take tires and cut the tires in half, like my grandfather used to do. He made watering troughs for his chickens and turkeys and stuff, and they would fill these tires with they would put the tires over their own fellow blacks' necks that they suspected of being traitors, and with their hands tied behind them where they couldn't move, and they would fill the tires up, half the tires up, with petroleum, with a liquid, with diesel or gasoline, and then they would do a very kind thing. They would set that petroleum on fire, and it would melt. This is actually happening. I think they could do this to these people. They would melt the tires, the rubber in the tires, and the more rubber, like lava from a volcano, would go down these people's bodies and burn them to death. And that's never mentioned anywhere on earth in any mainstream media. You know, I just can't imagine. I mean, you know what? God help me with what I'm getting ready to say. I hope and pray, dear God, this might be. I'm so wound up right now. I forgot the precatory prayer. I'm giving a precatory prayer right now that all these traitor SOBs, these white cucks, they're selling out our people all over the world, our own white people, especially in South Africa. The next necklace that comes about because you sit on your butt and you will not do anything to help your fellow people, I hope the next necklace is hung around you, and I hope it goes down and burns you to hell. I hope you get a dose of this, and I hope your precious people, your precious little children get to watch you do that. Because you deserve it. You deserve that. And then you deserve to go straight to hell. Now that, I'm going to go back to you, Rich. I'm kind of getting carried away. But that's what goes on there. Matt, do you have any further to add, son, to what I've said?
Well, well, the reason I asked about the land is because people need to understand this stuff's happening here. Right now, it's not without compensation. It's with compensation. But my own grandparents, their farm, it was sold to this what they would call a impoverished black family or whatever. And within 2 years, there was weeds growing up through the pavement, and everything was overgrown. They weren't taking care of it. They actually ended up getting foreclosed on my own grandparents' house because they did this land appropriation here. So it's happening here, people. And so that's why I was asking Rich if he'd personally seen any farms. Maybe, well.
Hey, Matt, son, my dear son, my spirit son, Matt, we've got to go to a commercial break. We'll hear the music coming up. We've got to pay some bills. God, thank you for this night. We'll be right back, people.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we are back, and if you heard Clint Eastwood say, do you feel lucky? Well, I don't feel lucky at all. I just feel blessed. Luck is just simply a matter of laws of probability that God Almighty of the blessed universe created. I'd like to thank you again, God. Thank you for letting me live to come through this night. Thank you for letting me partake in this miracle that you have created, you have done for me and all the people in this show. Oh, God, and I'm going to pray again right as we're going. I'm praying for Rich and Janice to have a wonderful time over there and for them to get back and safe and sound and to live to tell the tale. And, oh, Lord, if you will, please continue to look out for theirs and our brothers and sisters over there, Simon Roach and all the precious white people over there that we talked about. They're in such danger, oh, God. They're being attacked. And make no mistake, the forces that are driving these blacks against those people comes from Satan. Satan, it's a force of Satan. We fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against spiritualities, people. We fight against Satan himself. This great Satan, yes, he is great in power, but he's nothing compared to God. Satan despises those people over there in South Africa. He hates them because they're white. He hates them because they're Christian. I've said this once before, and I know people will agree. If you are a Christian anywhere in the world, you owe it to a white person who's brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. All the evangelists in the world are white. You know, Christianity is a white religion, but I'm not saying a white person can't be saved. But if you owe it, if you are a Christian, you owe something to white people. And that's why God hates us so bad. That's why he's trying to wipe out these South Africans over there. You'd mentioned these hydroelectric plants. This may be kind of going off on a rabbit trail here. But, you know, I'm wondering, that's got to be some very high technological work. I'm wondering how much longer they're going to be able to keep operating because these people, these blacks, this black government that hates the African are so bad over there, is trying to retake the country. You know, they're going to let that hydroelectric plant go to hell because none of them, not only do they not have the expertise to run it, but like we've mentioned, they're just too friggin' lazy to go out there and do any work, especially in the hot sun. How about the technology over there? You know, the hydroelectric plants, the buses, the trains, the airports. You said the airport was in good shape. How is the other infrastructure that you have witnessed out there, Rich? Has it corrupted any over the past 10 years under all these dire threats coming from the ANC and the blacks?
Well, I can't tell you specifically that, but I can compare it to lectures I've heard on pre-94 versus post-94, and in my own observations. I mean, we drove down the highways and through the cities, and generally the streets are strewn with trash. There are beggars at each stop sign trying to sell people stuff and going through the major towns. We passed through Bloemfontein on the way down here, and last summer there was, about the time we were in Charlottesville or shortly thereafter, summer a year ago, there's a municipal transit or a municipal worker strike, and they burned down the courthouse that was the judicial building that had been there since, gosh, I guess the early 1900s. I mean, a historic building, and we passed by the wreckage of it on the way down here, and there hadn't been any effort made to rebuild it or restore it or whatever. Right now, the country's under an electricity crisis. There are rolling blackouts that they've announced through mismanagement by ESCOM of the coal-fired plants. I think there's much more going on to that than what meets the eyes. It's just not poor planning. I think they're selling off the coal that they are mining in South Africa to Chinese concerns. That's the big unspoken thing about South Africa, is the number of the greater Chinese influence throughout all of Africa. I mean, it's been a concerted effort for the last, I don't know, at least 20 years. And of course, the Chinese Communists backed one of the factions that were victorious in Rhodesia, and they continue to support the ANC. And so you got graft going on, you got incompetence, and then you got outright theft and treason against the country. The lake here is probably 80% of full capacity because they're having to generate extra power to send to Johannesburg because of the mismanagement by ESCOM. The government, of course, operates under a principle of affirmative action, and there's a lot of situations where whites aren't even allowed to apply for jobs, and they're firing the technicians that keep things running. And you got a few essential people that they have to have you know, to maintain some semblance of productivity among these things, you know, like the hydroelectric plants. And then the pilots, I think, for the most part, are white for the airlines. The airline is not in good shape. I didn't mean to give that impression. The airport in Johannesburg is in a complete wreck, but South African Airways burned through like a $2 billion bailout in the space of a couple of months recently. So money, you know, they're generating more tax dollars than ever before, but they're squandering it on welfare programs, and it's going to lie in the pockets of the people that are in charge of the government. It's very tribal over here, and the common people don't really, you know, as long as their big chief's in charge, they kind of overlook their own miseries. And there's 11 different languages spoken in South Africa. There's no way it should be really a unified country, but that's just what the legacy is from the British rule.
Rich, you're doing one hell of a job.
Are they still having an immigration issue from people coming, trying to come into a what they would still consider a
top-notch
country?
Yeah, of course. There's estimates anywhere from 10. Yeah, there's estimates anywhere from 10 million plus illegal immigrants coming down. Because as bad as South Africa is getting, it is still the engine that's driving the economy of Africa. And everybody's trying to get in here, and a lot of times criminal elements and whatever else will come in among these immigrants, and that compounds things. So it's a society on the verge of collapse.
You know, I was going to say, Matt, you've had some great questions. You know, if I didn't know, I think Rich had been over there for 10 years. You've given a better report. I bet you there's not one person in 10 that's been living over there all their life to give a better report than you've been given thus far, Rich. It's amazing what you've been doing.
Well, thank you. But I'm just reporting what I'm talking to people and getting there, and they're telling me what things that are going on. And the South Africans the white South Africans are real curious about the U.S. government and U.S. policies, and I'm trying to, educate them as gently as I can on the realities of what goes on in the United States, and it's kind of opening some eyes.
Well, I would, I was going to say, when you talked about I think you said the airport had a humongous bailout, which is a $2 billion bailout. I'm just wondering how much of that money, I would be willing to bet that the United States sends in a lot of money. What doesn't get earmarked for Israel? I would imagine a goodly amount of our tax dollars goes over there to South Africa. But I'll tell you what, there's a special place in hell for our government here in Washington, D.C., and our state governments is just as bad. One of our friends that I went to eat with yesterday, Henry, everybody knows Henry, this collective political cesspool. He said the state governments have become as bad. Our county governments has just become as bad. We have an all-black government here in Shelby County. And I tell you what, I guess this may be a real rhetorical question, Rich, but what's the outlook? Well, I know you've only been there a short time, but what do you think, if you talk to enough people, what do you think what's the prognosis there for right now, the short-time prognosis?
Well,
Lee, coming in tonight.
The ones that are woke are expecting civil war. Now, you got a great percentage of the population that's just continuing to live its lives behind gated communities and such, and they kind of bury their head in the sand and think that they're going to muddle through somehow, and things will life will continue as normal. But when you hear the rhetoric coming out of the more extreme elements of the, not necessarily the ANC parties, but the BLF, Black First, Land First, and the EEF, Economic Freedom Fighters, or the EFF, I guess is what they're called, who are, in my opinion, are just stalking horses for the ruling party. Anybody that's paying attention is concerned. I mean, really. And it's, this Rainbow Nation experiment that they've carried out here is clearly not working, and as it clearly doesn't, it doesn't work in the United States either. I mean, the things are more advanced here in some ways than they are in the United States, but in other ways, the United States is more advanced too, because everything that gets pushed forward in the United States ends up going on down here. Things like abortion, this transgenderism, homosexual rights, militant homosexuality, and all this kind of stuff. And the once glorious institutions of South Africa, such as the South African Defense Force, are just shadows of what they previously were, because they've been destroyed by the black rulers, by the black leadership.
Matt, do you have anything to add to that, son?
I don't. I think that's a pretty grim outlook on the future for those folks, and we need to keep them in our prayers.
Well, Rich, exactly. I'd like to thank you so much. You, whether or not you knew it or not, or whether you wanted it or not, you have been part of a miracle that God has bestowed on Blood River Radio and our brotherhood. People, I hope you've enjoyed this incredible interview. I'm still tingling. I'll be tingling for a week. And hang on, we'll be right back. We're going to go with Jacob Tyler and Pastor Thomas Robb when we come back. Thank you so much, Rich and Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you.